This is a More Than Just Podcast production.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 384 of the More Than Just Code podcast. My name is Dimitra. I am in Toronto, Ontario, and I'm joined by Jaime Lopez Jr. in Seattle, Washington.
How's it going?
We have Mark Rubin down in San Jose, California.
Hello.
And we also have Evan Stone in Napa, California.
Hello. Or I should say Sonoma, actually, because it's more macOS. Yeah. I'm actually right over the hill from Sonoma, closer. Yeah.
All right. So we'll go with that.
Yeah. Sounds good.
I don't know if you guys heard today, but James Earl Jones just passed away.
Yeah.
Yes. The age of 93.
Yeah. So, it's just, just want to, take a moment to recognize how important that guy was in our lives, beyond Star Wars. Don't forget Field of Dreams.
Right.
Oh, you went there, not Mufasa. Not.
Oh, and Mufasa, this is right. CNN. Yeah. This is CNN. Yeah. Thankfully, Mike recorded a joke about that years ago, so I'll dub that in. Yeah. Anyway, just wanted to acknowledge Mr. Jones, who, by the way, we talked about on this podcast just the other day, that he's one of the actors who licensed his voice to be used in the future. So Darth Vader will still sound like Darth Vader going forward.
Ah. You mean like for AI?
Exactly.
Yeah, he nice. Sold the rights to his voice to them.
Cool. That's all really right. Interesting. And he has such an iconic voice. I mean, that being able to use that in that capacity, I think that's a yes from me. Like, that's a good usage, and it was nice of him to do that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure he probably left a nice little nest egg for his family too.
Right.
Right. Right. The estate.
Mm-hmm. As long as they do it well.
Yeah. Well, all bets are off on that. Alrighty, cool. So we're here to talk about the event that happened today. Today is September 9th, and as we record, and Apple just announced, amongst other things, the new Apple or the iPhone 16s. But I think they led off with the watch news, right, Jaime?
They technically lead off with "Good morning" from Tim Cook, as usual. Like, you all say that I'm pretty exact, except for one time, apparently. One time I slurred my speech or something, and they could really do the same thing with Tim Cook. Like, he could just pre-do these, like 7 years in a row. And he did say, Mr. Cook, that they were going to cover Apple Watch, the AirPods, and the iPhone. So nothing with iPad, as people were wondering, nothing with other devices, unless it was in the part that I missed.
Yeah, I know you didn't miss that. I think the other thing that people were hoping for was a Mac Mini redo, right? So, but I guess that might be coming separately.
Yeah, so cool. Leading off with Apple Watch is the Series 10 with bigger screen, a wider angle OLED display that is up to 40% brighter when viewed off angle. And I guess with this brand spanking new OLED display, it updates once per second for its update for the always-on mode versus the current once per minute. Stop pausing there on the screen that they talked about. Thoughts, anyone, on this part so far?
Well, I mean, bigger than the Ultra, which is something that they mentioned as well, right? The Ultra models.
Oh, I missed that. Do you mean the screen part was bigger?
The overall visual, like the visible area of the screen, is actually bigger than what's on currently on the top of the line Ultra 2, right? So, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't catch that they said that the screen is bigger than the Ultra.
Yeah, they had a sort of side by side cutaway showing how much bigger. It's like millimeters, but
right.
Many 16ths of an inch, but it was definitely bigger. I made a note of that. I thought it was odd because I thought, well, why would they talk about that? And clearly they're going to bring out an Ultra 3 that's going to blow it out of the water, but they didn't do that. We were surprised to find, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, jet black polished aluminum finish, which I thought was kind of cool, right?
Yeah, they come up with new names for the black. I guess jet black was one that they thought about there.
We had jet black on the iPhone 7. Do you remember that?
I do remember. That was the one that got the fingerprints really easily because it was nice and shiny and glossy.
Yep. And it slid off your desk if you weren't careful.
I do remember this discussion. This is a Tim problem because he has a slight angle on his desk, apparently.
Oh. Yeah. I had a video on YouTube of it sliding off the desk.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't have one, but I do remember it being a nice finish, that jet black. And so when I saw this for the watch, I thought, wow, that's a great look. I have a Series 9, so I'm not going to upgrade just for that, but I thought it was a pretty cool finish.
They also told us
the charge.
Ooh. Well, that's really cool. The fast charge gets you to, I forget what, I don't know if it was from zero, but it's from like very low all the way up to 80% within 30 minutes, which is going to work, I think, really well for some of the things they talk about later as to why would you want to have 30 minutes. But they also said that it was 9.7 millimeters, which is 10% thinner than the Series 9. I thought it was interesting they were able to do both of those at once. And I think the next one was a different model, right? The polished titanium or titanium that replaces the stainless steel. I think they didn't say sport. They didn't say, was it sport and watch? Forget what how the models work. They were less model specific on some of these.
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was odd. Yeah. Let me go over to Apple and have a look.
Yeah, on the tech specs page, it's nice because they have these laid out. So there's the aluminum case. And then the next line is the titanium case, and it comes in slate, gold, and natural colors.
Oh, and they have an Hermes now, too, option. So
they do. They did talk about the Hermes stuff around at least the Ultra 2. But before we go there...
Okay.
Yeah. Didn't they always have an Hermes?
They had I was just looking actually just now on the watch page at the top. They've got... where was it? There was like an Hermes, and there's an Apple Watch Studio. I don't know what the hell that is. Apple Watch Hermes. Yeah, they had that. Mark. No, this is an Ultra. It's an Ultra thing. They've updated the site today, I guess. Sorry, Jaime, we're jumping ahead.
No worries. So coming back to the battery that can charge up to 80%, get to 80% battery from very low. I didn't catch where, probably not zero, but probably very close, within 30 minutes. Why? Because now it can do sleep apnea detection. So they really want you to wear this thing, as like an all day sort of thing. And presumably, if you're wearing it at night and when you get up in the morning to take a shower, have some coffee, you can just slap it up on the charger and get it to where it needs to be rather than having to worry about, well, I've got to charge it overnight, got to do this, got to do that. That sleep apnea thing is, they're expecting clearance from the FDA soon. They want to take it out across 150 plus countries. And it looks for breathing disturbances that are analyzed over a 30-day sliding window. And so it's going to try to look for significant changes so you can talk to your doctor about the situation. So it's not meant to be like, you had sleep apnea last night. It's meant to be like, well, over 30 days, it looks like you have a pattern that seems to match our machine learning model of what this would look like if you had sleep disturbances associated with sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm. Right. I like this. I think this is great. And they're featuring it on the Series 10 page. But I already have been diagnosed with sleep apnea, so I already know.
Yeah, same here.
So, but if I had been undiagnosed, this would have been great to know about, and be alerted of, because it is a serious thing, and it's more than just an annoyance. It can lead to serious problems. So it's a huge thing. And there on the page, they show a jet black Series 10, and it. It has the sort of the health logo and says possible sleep apnea. So that's kind of where they're going with this. Possible. So you can then check with your doctor or medical professional.
Yeah, there's kind of a trend, and I think we'll probably bring it up in the next major segment around trying to democratize more of these health aspects. So, they're expecting clearance from the FDA, so they're getting it, probably certified under some scenario. I don't know anything at all about the testing levels, but to be really clear, the Apple Watch is not a traditional medical device. That's why things like the ECG that uses single lead, has benefits, but not as much as like a dedicated two lead or other multi lead device. But hey, the, you know, the best camera you can have is the one that's with you, right? And this is a thing that is going to be with you as part of your normal thing. So I thought that was kind of interesting of how they're bringing health, in this case, less so from a go out and work out and do all these really cool things. They do have that as well, but they're expanding health to be looking for other things. Worth noting, they also mentioned that this can, I don't know if this is an existing feature or new here, but like also detecting from the Apple Watch if you have likely to have been ovulating. I must admit, I don't recall if that's brand new for this series or if they just wanted to toss it in as like an additional thing that the Apple Watches have been known to do.
Yeah, it is interesting that they are, I mean, we've seen this coming. It's been, the Apple Watch has been definitely more of a health device. And I was just trying to think back to when the watch was originally released. You know, did we think that it would be this important? You know, because some people have discovered they have that, you know, the AFib problem because of their watch. And so, I mean, it is playing a pretty significant role. It'd be interesting to see how much more it will in the future, too.
Yeah, I've had a friend who ended up in the hospital with his watch told him to go to the hospital.
Oh, wow.
Some issue. I don't know what it was. Actually, I'm just going to paste a picture in the Friends of the Show chat so you guys can have a look at this comment about the Ultra. It's like slightly different, slightly larger, like 3 nanometers, you know. As if I had a screenshot. Well, pictures, I guess. Anyway.
They threw in some fun stuff. You know, they threw in the Tides app, you know, for you peoples who are near places where tide might occur. Not for the middle parts of either of our countries. I don't think there are tides to the Great Lakes. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, there aren't. Well, no. there are tides. There are tides in the East Coast and the West Coast, right?
So, oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
No sharks in Nebraska. But that's not what that app is for, right? It's for understanding what's going on with the tides. And for the regular Series 10 and its titanium variant, as of today where we're recording, which is the day that the event occurred, you can order today. It will be available on September 20th at $399 US dollar price. Then they moved on to the Ultra 2, which comes in the satin black finish.
Well, before you get to that, is that sure. $399, is that a low price for a watch entry point? This is for the 44 millimeter model, I believe, right? Because there's different sizes. Right.
It feels about, I mean, you know, the starting point is probably not for the titanium. It's probably for the polished aluminum, I would guess. And I think I got to look at the store app itself. It feels like they're not distinguishing between sport and regular as they traditionally have.
Right.
And that will come up a bit when we talk about like the AirPods that we mentioned as the second segment. But they do have the Ultra itself. The Ultra 2 is an actually, you know, different name. So that's probably where they're trying not to have sport, watch, and Ultra variants just to keep it a little bit clear.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Kind of like, how much money do you have? What sort of things do you want to do? You know?
Yeah, the 42 millimeter is $399, and the 46 millimeter is $429 in the aluminum or aluminium.
There we go. So the other watch, the Ultra 2, they mentioned that Hermes Maritime watch face and loop. So they have had Hermes stuff before, but not this particular watch face, not this particular loop. It does the same nice things that the Ultra will give you around GPS and better longevity. Apparently, its screen is not quite as big. Is that right? Is that the comparison there? Making a trade-off. And again, as of today, you can order today from the event, available on September 20th at the starting price of $799 US. One of their slides said, not for the Ultra. I didn't get the Ultra. I got the regular. There was like up to 18 hours battery life. And the Depth app I forgot about too. I didn't put that in my notes. And whether it's a feature or not, this is a starting point at which they really heavily emphasize the carbon neutral aspect of what they're doing. I didn't take notes on that other than was it the 2030 plan that they have?
Oh, yeah. You know, it's funny. We were chatting about this earlier, and this is one of these instances for the Ultra where they didn't release, you know, a new model. It's just the color variant of the existing one. But, you know, if this had been released last year, I would have definitely bought this.
Do you have an Ultra now?
No, I have the Series 9.
Okay.
So I was on the fence, and actually, as it turns out, I had buyer's remorse ever since, because I feel like I should have gone for the Ultra. So my next watch will be an Ultra of some sort. Hmm. But that won't be for a while, because the 9 is pretty good right now. Really good.
Yeah, I have the Ultra 1.0. I like it. But then I'm not a huge watch fan anyway, right? But I needed it. I wanted it for specific features, but... And I'm not a fan of the curved glass. I used to scratch my old watches all the time, whereas this one has a metal edge and a flat screen, so I tend to damage it less, which I like. And it's got the sapphire crystal, right? So I'm surprised that they didn't bump it up in terms of features other than just the color, right?
Yeah, it was a bit of a surprise. Well, I guess it was kind of a surprise to not have an Apple Watch 3, but who knows? Maybe next year. You know, back on the Series 10 thing, is this, I'm looking at the page, and we talked about the tides, and there's the snorkeling thing with Oceanic Plus, and I thought that was an Ultra app, but I guess they're having it on Series 10 now, too, but I doubt that it'll be on Series 9, or unless I'm missing something. Maybe it's already available all this time, and I didn't realize it.
I think you're talking about the underwater capabilities, yeah. The O2 and all that kind of stuff on the Ultra.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was definitely a thing on the Ultra that maybe they've just added it to the 10 now.
Looks like it. They have and then water temperature for swimming and the swim workouts. Anyway, it's a kind of interesting stuff. Sorry to backtrack. I apologize.
That's okay. Actually, since you came back anyway, I wanted to talk about the sizes. So the SE is 44 and 40 millimeters, which is the, I guess that's the OG sizes. And then the Watch 10 is 46 and 42. It's quite a difference. And the Ultra is 49 millimeter size, even though because of the curved glass and the wider screen. And it's like, you know, I just, in the, if you look at the screenshot that's on the Apple website or the one I just posted, it's imperceptibly larger screen. You know, I think you'd have to get your micrometer out to sort of tell the difference, you know.
Yeah, they look really close.
Yeah. Yeah. And just, I think it just, it's a hair's breadth taller, wider, whatever, right?
I think so. We know what they'll do for the Ultra 3, bigger screen.
Yeah.
I think some of the things we're running into here is I know Apple is trying to recap some things, so I'm getting a little bit of trouble figuring out, is this part actually new, or did they repeat this to make sure that people know that it all fits together as a larger cohesive thing? That's right. Where some of these questions we have of wait, is this strictly speaking new, or are they just mentioning it because hey, if we gave you this new feature, it's kind of like this other feature, or it pairs really well with this other feature.
Yeah, it's hard to say. I mean, again, you know, it's funny because I think we commented we were all watching on a watch party earlier today, and I think Josh mentioned that it was getting really confusing in terms of what we're supposed to choose. Right. And I said it reminds me of the iPad confusion we had, right?
Yes.
Back a few years ago, where there were just too many iPads and nobody knew which one you wanted to get, right?
Yeah, it's very much like that. There's that. It is kind of confusing, the story, right? Maybe it'll gel a little bit better next year. I don't know.
No, you all are trying to min-max here too much. So the story is really simple from Apple's point of view. How much money do you have? That is the maximum you can afford. Exactly. How much are you willing to give from that? There you go. just choose right here on this slider, and it chooses for you. Buy is essentially thing. The plan, I think.
True, but if you look at it though, from a capabilities point of view, and you know, we don't talk about chips on Mac on the Apple side anyway, but the Series 10, which is, you know, starting at, I'm looking at Canadian prices here, but $549 for an S10 SIP chip, right? I forget what SIP stands for, but the Apple Watch Ultra 2 is an S9. So technically, even though, but it's clearly like almost $450 more, $440 more, right? $460 more for, so it's almost double the price for a lower quality chip, if you think about it that way. Like,
right.
So although the screen's brighter, you know, the device is larger. It's got the metal edge I talked about before, which for me was a reason why I bought it. Plus that, you know, it has does the new watch have an action button on it too? Like the Ultra does?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Doesn't it have anything where button. You rub the side of it and get some magic beans appear?
Makes the genie, the Robin Williams genie, appear and grant all your wishes? No, I don't believe so.
I was confused about that, though. I almost thought that I heard them say something about it, but when I'm looking at the tech specs now, it definitely has, it just, you know, it shows the digital crown, and then it has the side button, and so that's it.
Yeah, and they're quite clear on the website. I'm just looking at the shop, the page where you can pick a watch. They've got the Series 10 in the first position with the big, you know, red new, and then the Ultra 2 in second position, and it says new finish. So at least they're being honest about the fact that it's not new. It's improved, but it's not new, right? And then the SE is the sort of next one, and then you get down, you go down that rabbit hole of the Hermes. So you've got, so now there's a Series 10 Hermes band, which is way more money than you need to spend. And then the Apple Watch 2 Ultra which had Hermes already. Oh, it says new as well, but I guess maybe it's a new Hermes band. I'm not sure. And they're all available for pre-order. I don't know. The watch has always been confusing in terms of like a product, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It confused me so much last year that I bought the wrong thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I saved money. I will give it that. I didn't, I think that's probably what was the driver, was that I just didn't want to spend $800 on it at that point.
Yeah. Yeah. But talk about confusing. Let's talk about the AirPods, because I'm completely lost with AirPods. I mean,
oh, yeah.
mind you, we should, you know, put this disclaimer out here that neither Mark nor Jaime can use these because they don't stay in your ears. Is that so correct?
That was true. Not stay in my ears. The issue I had historically is that my ears were too tight, and it would end up pinching and hurting and just like leave me just feeling awful. At some point, I realized my ears are now cavernously large, apparently, so they fit the AirPods quite nicely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, my problem with them is they go in, but they tend to fall out. And I can't tell you the number of times I've gone to take the subway downtown and seen AirPods down on the tracks.
Right. Right. Ouch.
Yeah.
No, I understand that.
I've never actually tried AirPods because I've never been able to use any kind of earbuds ever. They never fit in my ears, so I never even tried with AirPods. They might fit, but I doubt it.
Well, they have the new Pro model still has the silicone tips, which I'm not a fan of. But anyway, let's talk about the AirPods. Hi, man.
AirPods.
Not the AirBuds, which I like to talk about.
You know, that I feel is arguably the better name.
AirBuds.
You know, I know when they went with EarPods and then the connected EarPods became the AirPods, but the AirBuds, especially with the crossover, they just have, they don't even have to mention anything. They just need to have, what is it, a golden retriever come out in, or a lab, right, whatever that was, and just come out on stage and just not even mention anything. Just you, if you know, you know. They've got the Siri interactions, right? So you can interact with Siri, like nodding up and down for yes or left and right for no. So you can silently interact.
Which I don't advise you to do if you're wearing a Vision Pro, by the way.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah, because it complains if you move your head too much.
Oh, anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
There you go.
I've never had it complain at me, but maybe I haven't nodded my head.
Well, I'm wearing that new adapter that makes it less heavy on my head too.
Yes.
So it doesn't kind of like glue itself to my face anymore. Yeah. Anyway, or it could be Beta 2. Beta 2 seems to complain a lot about your position, how close you are to the lenses, and you know how far up or down on your face it is, you know.
Right. Anyway. Yeah, it will do that. Yeah.
But like Apple, we're not going to talk about the Vision Pro much today. Well, we will, but not much. Carry on, Jaime.
They have a, you know, force sensor on there that you could use to interact with the AirPods rather than having like a sort of you know, clicky, clicky, mechanical, springy button sort of thing. You can use the force sensor to play and pause music or deal with phone calls. Some nice additions, like the charging case has USB-C, but can also take the Apple Watch or Qi compatible chargers. I think is nice to give you options there. It's true. Especially if you're traveling, you don't have to wonder which of these cables did I bring with me, kind of thing. They're bringing active noise cancellation to this model of the AirPods. So this is the model of the AirPods that does not have the silicone tips on it. So this is closer to the kind of, you know, plastic model that I have for mine, which is or solid plastic one, which is nice. I've not really liked the way that those silicone tips feel for other devices. So that's pretty good. You know, bring their transparency mode, conversation awareness, where it can start ducking the audio when you detect that you're like talking to somebody, and then, you know, raises, I don't know, unducks the audio. I don't know if there's a reverse word for unducks. When you leave and go about your life, you know, listening to a podcast or listening to music, they added a speaker for the Find My capability, and the pricing comes out at $129 US or $179 if you want the noise canceling model. Again, you can order today and it'll be in your home by September 20th. It felt really easy at this point, and it will get more complicated as we go through the AirPods, but is it all making sense so far?
The thing that confused me initially, maybe it's because I wasn't paying attention well enough, which is usually the case. It escaped me that they were talking about two different AirPods 4. So there's AirPods 4 vanilla, that's the $129, and then there's the AirPods 4 with the active noise cancellation, and that's the $179 version. And so somehow, I don't know, that escaped me while that was all going on. And so I think that's important for people to know so that they don't just go out and buy AirPods 4. You need, if you want the active noise cancellation, be sure that that's the one that you ask for or that you order, and that you know ahead of time that's $50 more.
Yeah, so great. I'm curious, though, again, not being an AirPods person, H2, is that new on this model? Because, I mean, or new on the, so this is the 4, right? So what did AirPods 3 have then, I guess, is the question. Because the Pro is still the Pro 2. They haven't changed that other
right.
than that being able to add in the new FDA-approved hearing adapter thing or hearing aid thing, right?
Well, let's talk about AirPods Pro then, and then we'll come back to the Max, which is a much smaller update. So the hearing protection on by default across listening modes, which is really nice for the Pro. The hearing test that is clinically validated, so giving people the option or ability to do hearing tests, the kind that you might have remember in school, where like they put the headphones on, and then there's a person that like presses a button, and when you hear the tone, and depending on which side of your head it sounds, you raise your left arm or your right arm, right?
Yeah.
Letting people do that sort of thing more frequently so they can hopefully catch hearing loss at an earlier level or hearing issues. The hearing aid mode, which clinical grade as a feature, again, this is not a dedicated medical device, but this is a much nicer form factor. There are definitely folks out there who've said like, hey, you know, kind of wish hearing aids didn't look like freaking hearing aids. They just like come in this lame, you know, gray color. They're like very obvious and it's, you know, not as socially acceptable such as a, you know, the case may be for something like glasses, which have much more, you know, pizzazz to them and more personality. This isn't the same as personality, but I think you wearing AirPods Pro and using them as a hearing aid is a lot less noticeable and gives, I think, less of a stigma and gives you a little bit more, you know, vanity and esteem. Because pretty much everybody wears AirPods or things that try to mimic AirPods. So you just become yet another person rather than sticking out as a, you know, quote unquote, other. I really appreciated the fact that they finally brought this to an AirPods device, because I think it's a thing that people, one, these are, I didn't get pricing. Whatever they charge from, they're way cheaper than actual traditional hearing aids. And I think the experience is a lot nicer. Oh,
like thousands of dollars for hearing aids.
Yeah, it's nuts. Like whatever they're charging for these, I guarantee is way cheaper to lose 10 of these before you deal with one hearing aid traditional medical device.
Yeah, I mean, for me, that's a real incentive because I actually do have tinnitus, so there are frequencies they don't hear, right? And so I know at some point I'm going to need a hearing aid, right? Like my sister wears them already, so, and she says they're great, so, but I'm sure she probably pays like an arm and a leg for them, right? And again, the ones she has to stuff into her ear, right? So, and there was I think there was a hearing, a voice speech enhancement feature that was in the AirPods all like for many for last several years, because I remember people talk about using them as hearing aids in the past, like not FDA approved ones, but you know, this is the announcement they talked about today, is that it is being approved as a medical grade device soon, right? Because Apple wouldn't have mentioned it otherwise, right?
They use the term clinical grade, which I don't know if that's the same as medical grade, just to be really clear, you know, check with the doctor.
Over-the-counter. I did remember they specifically said over-the-counter. So it's not like prescription level kind of thing. Like your doctor's not going to say, go to the Apple store and buy an AirPod Pro 2, right?
Yeah, this is like, you know, getting vitamin D over-the-counter versus getting 100%. The like mega dose of vitamin D that needs to be prescribed by a doctor. So, but I think your point is well taken, that they've had features that have sort of nibbled at the edges and danced around this, and I guess they finally got it to the point where they feel pretty confident that they could get this over the finish line. And I think that's a huge benefit to people. And this is exactly between this feature and the sleep apnea coming out of the Apple Watch. I'm like, that, you know, that's not going to wow the vast majority of people, but I appreciate the fact that this helps democratize that sort of tech in a really nice form factor. Is it going to outdo specific metal devices? Perhaps not, but it's also way cheaper, and it's not going to look like a medical device. It's going to look like pretty well designed, you know, designed in Cupertino kind of stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're really going in on this hearing health on the AirPods page for AirPods Pro 2. One of the tabs is hearing health, and they have a whole long description of all of the benefits of AirPods Pro 2. They talk about the hearing test and how it works, and how the results show up. And they're really going in on this. So I guess that's good. And it shows that that's what they're trying to position and differentiate with the AirPods Pro 2 also, because it was a little confusing, like, wow, all this great stuff coming to AirPods 4 with the active noise canceling. But I guess this is the kind of thing that they're using to give AirPods Pro the edge, so to speak.
Well, and I think Harmy mentioned it before, like the idea that, they did a quick demo on like how the sound changes. I guess that might have been the phone they were talking about, but conversational awareness and stuff like that, and dimming when you go to order the street dog from the vendor. You know, your music will dim when it recognizes when you're talking to somebody, right? But the hearing health thing is huge, I think, right?
Yeah,
I have a few friends who are probably getting Sherlocked by that now too.
It's inevitable. The thing that was not announced that has been just rumored for years, and if there's people out there that know how this could be possible, I do wonder if it's pure fantasy, but people have been wondering for a very long time, is this going to be able to check things like blood pressure through like AirPods and Apple Watch? Or is it going to be able to check for glucose levels, you know, looking at diabetes? Like, I have no clue if any of those are possible, other than having like vampire bites on your ears or your wrist. But I certainly want it to happen, right? I mean, what's the downside of having an Apple Watch series 15 that can now do glucose detection?
Yeah, I think you're right. You have to get a blood sample for that. But I mean, there's some things I like about this. The fact I can use it with my watch charger. It has USB-C on it. It's got a lanyard loop, so you don't lose the, you can tether the case to something, right? Like your backpack or whatever. It has this other thing too, which they didn't talk about today, but the dynamic head tracking, where it can base the spatial audio based on the shape of your head somehow, which is kind of cool. I mean, sound is something that, you know, doesn't get a lot of coverage, and in app development or whatever, but I mean, it's huge, right? It's a huge, huge thing to take advantage of, especially like in Vision Pro development to use spatial audio and things like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Brandon, I think I might end up buying a set of these myself.
The Pro model?
Pro 2, yeah. With mm-hmm. Well, I'm interested in the hearing health for sure.
Oh, yeah. I have a pair of these, the AirPods Pro 2. I've had them for a little while and they're great. And I really like them in conjunction with Vision Pro.
My question, that's an interesting, good point. I was going to ask about that. But so are you able to get this hearing health thing happen with an update?
Yeah, probably. I'm assuming this it'll probably be an update with iOS 18, right? And so, yeah, and it's the same one. This is not a new AirPods Pro. So they're just upping their game with the existing. Maybe they might do a firmware upgrade also.
So that's a question I have. That's a good point you brought up about, you mentioned iOS 18. So my HomePods are running 17-something, and they automatically update. My Apple TV also runs a 17-something, and I have three of them, and they auto-update as well, generally speaking, right? Does your AirPods have some sort of OS? Like, can you look in some info somewhere and see what they're running and
I'm not
get updates and stuff?
There might be some rudimentary information if you dig down into the Bluetooth settings. It'll list your device in there, and then sometimes it'll give some information. The most important thing that it will tell you is, I don't know if it gives you the firmware number, or there's some indicator there that says which you know firmware you're on and if it needs to be updated. And what happens is that when it pairs with your iPhone, it will just go ahead and automatically update.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Like the watch does, I guess, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, the watch, I actually have to go in and tell it to update, but yeah. And coming back to the Vision Pro, that's another thing I've been kind of curious about. Like, I was actually listening, like, I just use the open air audio with mine.
Right.
And I was listening to some spatial audio music on the weekend, right? Because I've been making a playlist of spatial audio stuff that I like, as opposed to what Apple wants to serve me. Like a lot of bands have remastered their audio for spatial, or at least they've got properly. I listened to, Voodoo Child by Slight Return by Jimi Hendrix the other day, right? And you can distinctly hear two guitars that he's playing, and you can hear two vocals that he's singing as he's mm-hmm. singing, right? And you can hear the raspiness in his voice. It's amazing. This is just with the Vision Pro using spatial audio with the open air. But now you said, and I've been wondering about this because I know some people use their AirPods with the Vision Pro, like, because it's a better speaker experience or better bass or something.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about it?
Well, first of all, I think that the speakers on the Vision Pro are amazing, and I don't know if you have that same opinion.
They do. They're just not super bassy. Like, my HomePods are better. Yeah.
Yeah. It blows me away. Actually, sometimes I keep thinking, like, how can these speakers be this good? But the AirPods Pro are,
it's all in your head, man.
It's all in my head. That's right. They're tricking me. The AirPods Pro are a very good, sonically, at least from my opinion, I really like them. And what I've noticed is that they're very close, actually, to what you hear with the Vision Pro 2. So what you'll notice, I think you'll probably notice how similar they sound. But you'll probably have more bass with the AirPods Pro.
Yeah, I mean, so there's two parts of my question. Is it a necessary upgrade? One, but the other point I think about it is that, you know, when I'm in the kitchen and Carol's there too, she can hear what I'm hearing with the open ears, right?
Yes.
So you get more privacy that way?
Yes, and that's why I wear them, because it makes me, I'm just very paranoid about bothering other people around me, or, you know, and so a lot of times if I'm watching a show or whatever, I'll do the AirPods Pro just so I don't disturb anyone. I don't know, maybe I'm probably worrying more than I should, but, and it's,
I think the fact that you're wearing ski goggles in a coffee shop is probably more disturbing than what they hear.
Yeah, exactly. But it's a very good experience. They also have the spatial audio too, as well. So, you know, that you can take advantage of that. I only have one gripe about it's not the AirPods fault. It's the Vision Pro, or actually it's probably Vision OS's fault, which is that Vision OS tends to be very greedy about the Bluetooth. So it will, and also you can only, as far as the last time I checked, and this was the same in Vision OS 1 as in 2, you can only set it to automatically connect to your AirPods, and this makes me crazy. Because on every other device, like the Mac, my phone, whatever, iPad, I can set it to connect to this only if it's the last thing that you connected to. The one exception to all of those is the Vision Pro, and it just wants to steal it. So there's been times, it's a very, very weird use case, but there's been times when I've wanted to have like my Mac audio in my AirPods with the Vision Pro on, and then the Vision Pro steals it, and I'm like, come on, guys.
So you have to go into Bluetooth and disconnect it, basically?
Yeah. I turn off Bluetooth, and then it'll be fine. Yeah. But it's just
annoying. That's one thing that really annoys me, is you can't stream the... I mean, I thought the Vision Pro was now capable of being an AirPlay target, right? Because I want to watch things on my Mac, but have it, you know, I want to hear it in the Air Vision Pro speakers.
Right.
That's not possible yet, right?
I don't know. I don't think so. What I wish was when I was doing... the virtual Mac display, that's when I want the audio to come to the Vision Pro. It seems like a no-brainer to me, but I don't know, maybe they're trying to work that out.
Well, this is what I was griping about before we started recording, was that today I opened up the Apple TV app thinking I could watch the event on the Apple TV, right? But for some reason, Canada seems to be a second class citizen to Apple as far as Vision Pro is concerned, because I could not find the event on Vision Pro. And I know that some of the other people on the call were in the States, were watching it on the Apple TV.
Right.
So I ended up tried to watch it in Safari for a while on Vision Pro, but it was behind you guys, like, you know, by a good, you know, 30 seconds. And then eventually ended up watching it on my Mac using the Mac, you know, mirroring. But the announcement was coming out of my Mac speaker. So when Carol came into the living, you know, into the kitchen to cook dinner and whatever, she could hear Tim Cook and whoever, Jaws and all those guys talking about the features. Right. So again, like, I couldn't have privacy. Well, and I think the last time I was on a flight, I did the same thing. I did the Mac mirroring, but I ended up using earbuds, you know, wired into my Mac so that I could watch what something on the Mac with the Vision Pro on, and not have other people, like, especially on a plane, hear it, right? So, because on a plane, I use my Vision Pro on a 747. I can't hear it. It's just the over the air, open air.
Oh yeah,
speakers aren't good enough.
Right.
So in that case, you would want to have the AirPods Pro that you're talking about.
Yeah, right? Yeah. That would be that's an excellent use case for that. Vision Pro with AirPods Pro, AirPods Pro 2.
On a plane. With noise cancellation, right?
With the noise cancellation, it's a beautiful, that would be a beautiful combination.
Right. Okay, back to the show. Sorry, I mean, Mark. Sidebar over.
Sidebar.
I know. Rounding things out for the AirPods section is AirPods Max. It's got USB-C now. $549 available to order today, September 20th.
But it's new colors.
New colors. Again, I take very poor notes when it comes to colors.
Yeah, I think people were hoping for some kind of an upgrade to them, because they have, but they're like the HomePods. They came out and that's it, right? I mean, how long have they been out? 3 years now? 2 years?
Yeah,
3 years?
Something like that.
And now they've got a new color. Ooh. And USB-C. I guess they had Lightning before.
Yeah, they had Lightning, or they have Lightning. Yeah,
you have a pair.
Yes. Yeah.
And how
that's
are they?
That's my daily work headphone.
Can you use them with the Vision Pro?
I think I've seen people use them, but I've never tried, and I don't really see the point. I mean, they're great headphones, but that seems uncomfortable.
I have over the ear headphones right now.
Yeah.
And I've used these with the Vision Pro.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
You put them on after the Vision Pro. Yeah.
I'm using the AirPods Pro Max right now, And I think they're excellent headphones. I don't know if I would ever buy another pair again. I mean, they were great, but in retrospect, I don't know what overcame me to spend that much on these.
Yeah.
But they've been, I mean, in some ways they've been worth it. I mean, I use it, you know, every day, every work day. They have amazing noise cancellation. Like on warm days, I have an air conditioner that sits right next to me here. And when it's going, I can't even hear it. It's that good. As good as Zoom. Zoom filters out pretty well too.
Right. Cool. Sorry, Hammy. But I think we said everything there is to say about the
Max, AirPods, right? And the Macs and stuff. Yeah, yeah. So the sort of king of the event that's always usually saved for last is the iPhone. You start out with the regular one and then we get to the Pro one. The iPhone 16 in, I actually did take notes here, apparently, ultramarine, teal, pink, alongside white and black. We're talking a lot at this event about ceramic shield and that it's, you know, considerably tougher than their first gen. Sizing-wise, in terms of screens, if you've got, options for 6.1-inch screen or 6.7-inch for the iPhone 16 Plus. And the customizable action button, which is force touch instead of a springy button. They put the camera control aspect in there that's allows you to like slide your fingers to do stuff, for lack of a better phrasing here.
That's the genie incantation thing I was talking about earlier.
Yeah, yeah. It has a way to interact with Apple Intelligence there. I'm going to assume, based on where I see on my own current iPhone 15 Pro, for the Americans in the audience, this replaces the 5G window. Like physically in that spot, I guess. That's kind of where I envision this based on the diagrams and the pictures.
Yeah, it's the action button, right? The little slidey action button thing.
Are you talking about the camera control?
Yeah, the little rubbery, the thing where you rub the side of the phone, or is it just a spot on the thing that's sensitive or something?
It is a buttony kind of thing. If you just go to the iPhone 16 page on the Apple.com, you'll see that there is, you know, the main home buttony thing, and then below that there is another section that is this, you know, capacitive.
Oh,
touch,
I see. So buttony thing. Okay, so yeah. I thought that was
the
sleep
wake button or the, you know, activate Siri button. That's not the button I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's a button. One, yeah. You know, if you had this propped up vertically, it would be the secondary spot. And as I'm looking at my iPhone 15 Pro, if you're somebody who has the American model and maybe other models out there, there's a little 5G window.
Yeah.
For extra good connectivity. It's a scientific term there.
It's where the SIM card drawer used to be.
Exactly.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Okay.
Yes. If people are looking to visualize that. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
And the action button replaces the switch for flipping. For locking and making it quiet, right? Like the there's like a physical switch on my 14,
right?
To stop it, to make it quiet, right? Or stop rotation or whatever, right? Okay. Because what's funny thing about this is because I'm a huge iPhone camera user, right? Like I use my iPhone for taking pictures all the time, and I hold my phone upside down because I use the volume plus and volume minus as
right.
a shutter,
right?
But now this is the shutter. Is that correct?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Because I see people like poking the screen to hit the little circle thing all the time, and drives me nuts, right?
I have to think about the video they showed. They definitely showed you being able to change like the lens on there and not exactly focusing in, but like, you know, the thing you would be swiping on the screen.
Well, you can change the f-stop, and it's actually becoming more like a proper camera control, like based on what I saw and based on my knowledge of SLRs, right? There's a whole slew of camera controls that are now possible from that interface. So that's a good thing. It's just whether I have to retrain myself to hold my phone the other way around now with the lenses on top, right?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
If you've not had the software circle shutter button on the right-hand side for your right-hand person, then you'll have to retrain. And I guess there's no lefty model. There's no Ned Flanders model of iPhone. So.
Jonathan Kuhlein model, you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that is something I would not be surprised if they address in future models. Just, iPhone 19. You know, the whole thing is a touch button. Just swipe anywhere and it figures out. You can reconfigure, kind of like the Apple Watch lets you reconfigure, not the physical button, but lets you reorient the software to make it make a little bit more sense if you're going to keep your watch oriented one way versus the other.
So on the site, the question that Tim asked was a good one, because I do the same thing. I always flip it around so that I can use the volume button as a shutter. It looks like that can be used as a shutter, I think. At least in video mode, it says that you can click it to start recording, and I'm assuming that means stop also. And so that interaction would, I'm assuming, apply to the photo camera too. And then if you do a light press, then it opens the zoom controls. And then if you do a double press, then you can do different camera settings and the. I thought that was a very good question.
They also mentioned fixed focus, which is something that's missing on the phone too. Like if you focus on a subject and then you want to reframe the shot, it doesn't change the focus lock, focus lock, I think you call it, right? Or was that on the Pro?
Tim, I definitely don't know, because I don't use my phone that way. I'm like, I will just aim in the general direction, and the phone is so good. It makes me look like a brilliant photographer, knowing absolutely nothing about what it's doing under the covers.
Yeah, it's funny. I just as a sidebar here, James Dempsey mentioned on the socials today, they didn't talk about making phone calls on these things.
Yes.
What do we need that for?
Telephony must be a fun group to be in. I'm like, yep.
I want to part lessen my number of phone calls.
Yeah, I just don't answer it.
There is one huge feature with the camera, though. I don't know if you want to talk about that. The spatial capture.
Oh, of course. That's 100% what I want to talk about. That's the reason why I'm getting a new phone.
That's huge.
Well, not this phone, though. Not this phone.
Like, me too. Yeah, same here. But it is noteworthy that the 16 is going to let you do spatial videos and photos. Mm-hmm. And same with the Pro.
Well, the 15 as well. 15 Pros can do spatial photos now.
Yes. Yeah. And that's a new thing. It couldn't before. It could only do video before. And so this is a new deal. And our friend Josh is very excited about that, to be able to do spatial photos.
Well, the one thing though, that I think it shouldn't be the elephant in the room, but it is in this podcast, is this is the first device. These two next devices we're going to talk about are the first devices that from the ground up are designed for AI. In fact, they even skipped a generation of chips today, I believe, right?
Yes.
It was an A16.
Yeah. This is the A18. Correct. Yeah.
Now Mark can make those really amazing emojis with AI.
With 2x faster ray tracing, by the way. These will be very realistic emojis.
And hardly wait.
I don't know about you guys, but I hate the look of the AI art. I just find it like they all look the same to me, right?
Yeah.
Like I can tell it's AI because like, and I've been using the AI art on Spotcast artwork for a year, I guess. But yeah, I don't know. I don't see the benefit of having something like I said to my wife today, like, why bother learning to draw?
Right. Who learns to draw these days?
What's that?
Who learns to draw anymore?
Well, this is it. I mean, like kids, they stopped teaching cursive handwriting in schools because everybody types. Now they're bringing it back. Right. So and now why bother learning to draw? You can just tell Siri to draw it for you. Right. Or Darwin or whatever they call the thing, ChatGPT or one of those, pick a name. Claude, I think, is a new one, right?
Yeah.
What else do we want to say about this iPhone 16?
There's going to be stuff that is very similar. So the 48 megapixel main camera with a 12 megapixel 2x telephoto lens and in ultra wide now with autofocus at 12 megapixels. I think that's pretty similar to the Pro model, except the Pro adds a quad pixel, second generation quad pixel sensor. For those, the telephoto camera looks like 5x. You know, it's kind of interesting that they tried showing off Honor of Kings World, a game that looks perfectly fine, I guess, for the kind of game that it is. There were slowdowns that I noticed, and in my notes I said, are those for dramatic purposes, or is the phone slowing down? Really unclear. I feel like that was a really poor choice for showing off like what your iPhone can do.
Are there new phone sizes now, or are they the same size as the 15? Ooh. I'm talking about the 16.
I'm not sure, because it was 6.1 and 6.7. They talked about
the Pro. Yeah, I just wonder if we're going to get more size classes or not, you know? Or if we have to make new screenshots for our marketing.
Larger, you know? Those.
You still have to make SE shots. I mean, I just went through this recently. Like, it's annoying.
Yeah. No, I got you.
Actually, that's not true. I should say that. I think since we've been on the air on this podcast, they have announced, thankfully, finally, that you only have to provide one size of screenshots for your marketing.
Oh, yay! Okay. There you go.
Thank goodness. Go. Yeah.
Quality of life improvements.
Yep. But no more size classes, Mark. Sorry.
So 6.1 and 6.7. I think Jaime, you mentioned that, right?
For the 16, or do those match the current models?
For the 16, yeah. I don't know if they match.
Yeah, I believe that's the same size. Yeah, let me do the comparison thingy. Where is it? Here, compare. But before we go to the 16 Pro, I want to do a sidebar with you guys. So just let me know when you're ready to do that. Okay, I'm comparing the 16 to the... So the 5th... No, it's 16 Pro. No, I want to compare 16 to 15, right? Because the 15 Pro is gone as a product. Yeah, 6.1 is the size of the 15 as well, as an A16 as opposed to an A18. So I assume that, is there a max of 15 max?
It was a 15 plus, right?
Plus, yeah. And a 16 plus, and they are both 6.7. Yeah, so not new sizes to answer your question, Jaime.
Okay, gotcha.
One thing that's interesting, and this is still on the subject of iPhone 16, is that they highlight the audio mix and the spatial audio capture.
Mm-hmm.
They feature that on the iPhone 16 page. And I thought that was a feature of the Pro, but this is impressive that they're putting this on the regular phones as well, mm-hmm. where you can do the spatial audio.
Well, it goes with the spatial video, right?
This is true, yes. And also the audio mix thing where you can focus the audio when you're doing a video for, you know, in-frame, studio, and cinematic modes, you know, where it'll focus on particular sounds and voices. I'm a little confused on, not confused, but I'm not sure of all the particulars, but it was pretty cool that it was able to filter out all the extra noise around you and focus in on the thing that you're
right,
recording.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. You can do cinematic modes and, right. you know, studio modes and things like that. They had a little video to show that
right.
difference, right?
Yeah.
I thought that was in the Pro, but...
And then you can adjust that with the camera control, I believe, too.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at I finally found the spatial audio and stereo recording on the comparison page. It's way down at the bottom, Evan.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of specs when you go to the compare page in terms of what one does, what's on one phone and what's on another phone, right? So.
Well, that'll be good to look at.
All right, should we move to the 16 Pro, Jaime?
The Pro, which comes in 6.3-inch screen for the Pro or 6.9 for the Pro Max. The thinnest borders and the largest displays. So I'm going to guess those are different than the existing 15 Pro and Max.
I don't know. There's no side-by-side graphic, so I can't really tell you.
I did take notes on these colors of black titanium, white, natural titanium, and desert titanium.
Yes. Desert titanium is important. And again, A18. This is the A18 Pro, though, the chip.
A18 right? Pro, yeah. Right. The features there around being able to do the live changes, like let's see what this looks like under these various things, being able to do the live filtering and colors and et cetera. I thought that was really cool. You know, the photographic styles with live preview, I think is what they called it. So you don't have to take the photo to see what it's going to look like. You can see the photo before you take the photo. And the video at 4K It's not 60 frames per second. It's at 120 frames per second.
Wow.
And you can slow that down to 1/5 speed to do the sick kick flips that I was teasing Mark about earlier. That matches a 24 frame per second sort of cinematic feel. So that it's definitely going to chew up the gigabytes, but it's gonna look amazing, I'm sure.
Oh, does that mean I should get a bigger phone now? Because I was going to get a 256 model again.
I mean, you should. I don't know about going with like the terabyte one, because it kind of depends on what you're doing with iCloud and whether you care about having that data actually with you, like if you're offline in the desert or on an airplane or something under the sea. But I think the era of 16 gigabytes seems to be over, for what I can tell.
Yeah, for sure.
They've moved on for that. I wrote my notes that I missed the rest of this. So did I miss anything else that they covered for the 16 Pro that I didn't cover?
Let's see. I just have an infographic to go by. Battery life, 36 hours as opposed to 72 hours with low power mode. Oh, wait, that's the watch. What the hell? I don't have an infographic for the... I don't have an infographic for the Pro.
And I did not get... yes, I got an infographic here. It's in notes. They have feature of, 5X telephoto on both models, studio quality mics with audio mix, the titanium for four new finishes, ProMotion, action button 4K 120 with Dolby Vision, Apple Intelligence A18 Pro. It's all the things we kind of been talking about. Camera control, the photographic styles, spatial photos and videos, faster ray tracing, which kind of gets with the gaming, and the 48 megapixel ultra wide, and they feature Wi-Fi 7. Interesting.
Yeah, the new audio mix stuff that we were talking about, where you can have studio quality sound and things, right?
Yeah, and it seems to me that I thought I remember them featuring that on with the Pro, but I could be wrong about that, and it ends up being on the 16 as well. But
yeah, it's got the 48 megapixel ultra wide camera, right? Which is new. I've got the infographic loaded in front of me. Wi-Fi 7. I don't know what that means.
Yes, interesting.
And did we talked about the grade 5 titanium? That's on the Apple Watch, but also on the Pro, right?
We didn't talk about the grade. We did talk about titanium, but not the grade.
Yeah, grade 5, whatever that means, right?
I'm going to assume that number goes up, so more number. Or does it go the opposite direction?
More grades.
This is 5 away from being number 1.
Oh, yeah, that's a good question.
Yeah, plus the camera control. I actually ordered a case for my future iPhone 16 Pro because it has it needs to have the little detector on the case to use that new camera control button, right?
Right.
So
what do they do? Is it a cutout, or do they actually have?
No, they've actually got some special plastic that they put in there, which means now you can't use any until they catch up. You can't use a third party cases with that, right?
Right. Okay. I usually buy Apple cases anyway, but that's good to know.
Yeah, I've been buying MagSafe ones like from Spigen and places like that, but they're a little more affordable, but.
Yeah, at this point, my question is, do I want to do the Pro or the Pro Max? I usually carry the large phone. And so that's the dilemma. I think I'm going to stick with 512. That's what I have now. And I'm not even half full on it. So I'm thinking 512 would probably be okay. I was just chatting with someone earlier. It was actually the aforementioned Josh. He did a 1-minute spatial video, and it chewed up, I think, 127 gigabytes.
What?
Megabytes, I'm sorry. 127 meg.
Oh, there we go. There we go.
Sorry. Thank you for correcting me. Thank you for the what, because, 127, and I had even done a 1-minute on my, with the phone and non-spatial, and it was almost 200, so it's like, it's all...
You have a 15, or...
I have a 14 Pro Max.
The amount of compression depends on the amount of white and bright colors in the video feed. Mm. If it's a dark video feed, you're going to have better compression.
Oh, okay. In this case, it was dark, but there was also a lot of colors and things happening, so that could account for it.
Yeah, if you have like large areas of a single color, it'll be more compressed than if you have like lots right. of finicky detail.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. But it was encouraging to me because I was worried that the spatial videos were going to be just, you know, huge. And so it sounds like, you know, it's pretty reasonable.
Well, see, that's the question that I have, because I switched over to iCloud. I used to have big, you know, large storage on my phones, and then I switched over to iCloud for all the data to store all my photos and stuff. And I don't need as big a phone, but if I start getting into spatial video and spatial photos, I'm thinking I might need more space, right?
Yes, but iOS will try to optimize that. So if you're not...
So I have a 256 gig phone right now, and I'm at about 142.
Ooh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, most of his applications, it looks like. So, I mean, that's why I used to get the 512 models, and I wasn't using the space after I switched over to iCloud. So that's the question, though, I have, though, is like, should I get a 512 now instead of a 256?
I would say probably, but I mean, that's your choice.
You raise a good point is what I'm saying, right?
Yeah. Like, but, oh, this is a question I have though. So between the 16 Pro and 16 Pro Max, it doesn't sound like there's any huge differences.
Better battery life. It says on the page.
Better battery life. Well, that makes sense because it has the bigger battery and bigger screen. So, and it's just, you know, a bigger phone. So, you know, battery life is a consideration, but I didn't know if there were any other, you know, because sometimes the Pro Max, and I think in times past, they may have had a, like, it also had this, like, with the cameras or something, had some special feature, but I don't think they do that now, right?
Yeah. You have a Max phone now, or you have a Plus phone now?
Yeah, I have the 14 Pro Max.
Yeah, I just found it was too, I had a 6, when the Pluses first came out, like the 6, I had the 6 Plus, and I never want to go back to a big phone.
Yeah.
I was dropping it all the time and, you know, have to use two hands to do things and stuff. And
yeah, I'm thinking I might do just the Pro this time.
Yeah. Oh, the macro photography thing is an interesting thing as well, right? I don't know if it's just on the Pro models, you know, for getting in, taking pictures of that little tiny tree frog.
Oh, yes, yes. They did mention something about that on the 16 page.
On 16 as well?
Yeah. But I don't know if it's as accomplished at that. Let's see here. Where did it go? Yeah, there's the tree frog. It's the ultra-wide camera with autofocus.
Oh,
and you can take detailed, as they say, sharp, detailed macro photos and videos. Mm-hmm. But I don't know how it compares. Oh, maybe that would be on the comparison.
I'm just going through side by side here. More better battery on the Pro than on the non-Pro. We'll compare all fine. Yeah. Back to the comparison page.
Yeah.
So you wanted to compare the Max to the Pro? Like Pro Max versus
right.
Pro whatever?
So
let's see what side by side.
Actually, the Pro is no slouch on battery. It says 27 hours of video playback, 33 for 6. Is that battery?
Well, it says here on the Pro Mac, on the 6.9 Pro, the larger size one, that it gets 33 hours of battery versus 24
right.
hours, 27 hours. So.
Right. And then 22 for the 16. So, I don't know, the 16 Pro is not bad. I mean, you're only talking about
16 looks like a great phone too, right? Let's not kid ourselves, right?
Yes. And this is the year, I think, that if my wife needed a new phone, I think the 16 would be great for her. Mm-hmm. In the past, I've sort of nudged towards the Pro, but this is a year I think that the regular phone is really great mm-hmm. for, you know, for the average user. I guess technically I'm an average user, so I just want the Pro features.
Yeah, I'm doing side by side. I'm not seeing much difference between the Pro and the Plus. Max, whatever, other than battery.
And price, yeah.
And price, yeah, minor detail. So I guess we should go around the room here, and starting at the top, Who's in the market for a new watch? Not me. Evan?
No, not this year. I bought the Series 9 last year, so I'm good to go for a while.
Yeah. Mark, is your watch still in the drawer?
Yeah, my Series 3 is still taking up space on the desk in the same spot.
On the desk?
For how many years it's been there. Yeah. I still keep it on one of those, you know, the MagSafe charger thing that it's got. So it's been charged. I probably haven't worn it in 5 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Is the battery swollen yet?
Let me check. No, I don't think so. It still works.
Is it still powers up?
Oh, it's been on this whole time. Sitting on the
charger. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Sitting on the charger. Yeah.
So you use it as a clock?
No, I don't use it at all. It's just there.
Well, if you turn it on its side, it'll show you the time.
Yeah. Shows the time. Shows the date. Mm-hmm. Pretty useful. Yeah.
What else do you need a watch for, right?
Yeah, exactly.
How about you, Jaime? You going to get a watch?
I'm considering it. Probably not on day one. I had to double check. I'm a daily user of a Series 6. It's been meeting my needs for my lifestyle. But I think the last time I upgraded, because I sort of got forced by the OS upgrade, not because it, strictly speaking, didn't fit, but because, I don't know, I've got too much stuff on my watch and refused to install. And so I needed a physically larger capacity on my watch. This stuff with, like, you know, the sleep apnea and the better battery life and et cetera, I can always use better battery life. It works pretty well for me, but being able to do other stuff and not have to think about it. And if I somehow forget, it's a half hour, eat some breakfast, shower, walk the dog, whatever kind of thing. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty compelling there. Enough to get me to move on day one? No, but has me considering for the watch. And I would probably go with, gotta look at these models again. I would not be getting an Ultra because that would just be too much watch for me. I'd have to figure out whether I would go with the aluminum as I traditionally have worn the sports watches, or if I would go to the titanium to replace the stainless steel, which I've never had before.
And how about AirPods around the room here? Mark? No?
Well, I can't wear AirPods. I've never been able to. But I'm sort of tempted to try because of this the hearing stuff, actually. Of course, I know it'll happen. I'll buy them and they won't fit and I'll just never wear them. So, I don't know.
So, for me, I will probably buy the AirPods Pro 2. And then I'm going to get the Pro, the 16 Pro, but I'm not sure. Oh, sorry, I didn't ask you guys about phones. Mark? Phones?
Yeah, I'm due. I have a 14 Pro right now, so I'm due for a new one. So, I'll probably get the 16 Pro.
And
Jaime? I have an iPhone 15 Pro, and I don't think there's enough here for me to move at the moment. Battery life is still really good, but I'm noticing some decline, so I might jump on the 17 Pro is what I'm going to predict. I suppose, so I'm definitely not going to get on day one, and if I were to get it all, it's because I realize, oh, I can't do some cool thing with like ChatGPT or some other thing. Off of what I saw today, really good. Remember, for those of you driving at home, not everybody upgrades every year, especially now as these devices have definitely matured, and that's sort of a thing that has happened. So the jumps from generation to generation, not as big. If somebody's rocking, like this came up in a professional context, like, oh my gosh, it's a big deal. This app doesn't support the iPhone 6. Dude, the iPhone 6 is like a decade old now. It's time. Yeah. You are going to be blown away by how much things have improved. You are going to be blown away if you come from an iPhone 12 or 13. Maybe the borderline is like 14. Of like, holy smokes, this is way better. From the 15, probably not. And since I'm sitting on a 15 Pro, I think I will sit out this year, but anticipate next year. Mm.
And then we talked about you're going to get your, sorry, which did we talk about your phone? Yes, no?
So I'm currently leaning towards the iPhone 16 Pro, unless something, you know, really nudges me towards the big phone this year. I think that might try that and just go with the normal size. Maybe what I might do is just, because my wife has a 12 Pro, so I was thinking maybe I'll just play with hers a little bit, you know, take some video with some photos or things, see how I like the form factor. As far as test devices, I only have an iPhone 16. I'm iPhone 16. An iPhone SE, you know. And, oh, wait, no, I also have a little 13 here. I don't know how that compares size-wise. And it's not bad. It's, I guess, I the only thing I keep coming back to is, will I miss not having the bigger phone? And I guess if I do, then I could just shuffle the 16 Pro, you know, over to my wife next year, and then I'll go up to the big phone again next year. So I guess that's an option. Just go with a smaller phone for a year and see how it is. I'm not going to get any AirPods because I already have the AirPods Pro 2 and the AirPods Max. So there's no real compelling reason. The battery seems to be fine on all of those. So they're holding strong so far.
All right. I think we've hopefully Greg's happy with our answers, right?
Rounding things out, I'm wondering about the AirPods 4. So I've got the AirPods 3, if I'm not mistaken. I would very much like to have the noise cancellation, which this model does not have, the model that I have. So I'm considering it, but it might be the thing where I wait until I have really poor, you know, the battery degrades eventually on these AirPods. And so maybe I'll just wait until the battery's frustrating and it's like, great, which AirPods are roughly equivalent that I will replace those with, and then benefit from things like having active noise cancellation, or it tests your glucose, it raises your intelligence, you know, whatever it is that it does at that point. So this year, not looking to jump day one, but could be convinced if I get really frustrated with my battery life.
All right. Well, I guess, should we move on to our picks and close it out? Tommy, did you want to go first while Evan thinks about a pick?
Got a couple. The first is the revamped. This didn't happen today. It happened maybe a few weeks ago. The revamped Apple developer documentation at developer.apple.com/documentation. But they did update with the, you know, camera controls and other stuff. So it's a little bit of a nicer layout and some things. It tries to help you if you're, you know, kind of new to some pieces, like, hey, how does Reality Kit work? Well, let's show you this WWDC 24 session. How are you going to integrate your app with Siri and Apple Intelligence? That's a really big topic. So they seem to have tried really hard with this, so I really do appreciate them giving this some love. Hmm.
Is there anything from WWDC that you've been surprised by? We didn't really talk about, we didn't have a recap show.
Given what I do in financial technology, I sort of geeked out more on the sessions related to FinanceKit and the Apple Pay stuff. So the Meet FinanceKit sort of spoke to me for that. What's new in Apple Wallet and Apple Pay, which I want to say was you could use Apple Pay on browsers that are not Safari. So you can use your phone to scan a little, kind of looks like a thumbprint, kind of looks like a QR code sort of thing, and then pay using your phone. As somebody who is not a day-to-day Safari user, I am one of those people that uses Chrome. I appreciate that coming to the future here. And the FinanceKit was interesting because, you know, having Apple allow folks to use open banking type of procedures with your Apple Card data is really cool. I would like to see them do the opposite, where, like, sure, it's great that your Apple Card and Apple Cash and stuff can participate in, you know, personal finance apps. Like, I think Monarch Money and I want to say You Need a Budget, and I'm sure there's one more out there that I'm forgetting. You know, those are all really cool, being able to put your full financial life in like a dashboard and understand where all your money is sort of stashed away. But I would really love to see Apple bring that sort of data aggregation into Apple Wallet itself. Like, the Apple Wallet experience is pretty solid. Why couldn't I see checking accounts from other banks and credit unions? Why couldn't I see my investment accounts nice, securely, and seamlessly, largely on device with Apple Wallet? I'd love to see that happen in the future. I'm kind of keeping an eye on that, especially because I assume that Apple will do this in a very, security and privacy focused kind of way in the future.
Cool. Evan, did you have a pick or anything like that? Or
yeah, actually, I had a pick, and then I was changing it rapidly here. the first thing, well, I'll go ahead and say it. It's okay to have a couple, right?
I think I may had two. Actually, I think I might have cut them off. But anyway, go ahead.
Okay. I've really been enjoying. I just started. You probably already know about this, and I know I'm late to the game, but I just started listening to the audiobooks for the Bobiverse series of sort of, you know, comedy sci-fi audiobooks, and I mean they're novels also. I mean, you know, for those who like books, and but it's narrated by Ray Porter, and he's awesome in this, and he does all the voices, and it's a great series, and it's I just started, and someone recommended it to me, and you know they know I like Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy and those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. If you like that, then this is a great thing to get started with. So and then you can just type in Bobiverse and Amazon, and it'll you know send you right to the book one.
Is it Bobiverse?
Well, I usually spell it Bobiverse, Bobiverse. Okay. Yeah. And it's the first book is called We Are Legion, and then in parentheses, oh, okay. We Are Bob.
Okay. So, is that anyway, on the Legion series?
No, not really. I haven't gotten to the reason why he chooses this, other than, you know, I think there's maybe a biblical reference there, but then the We Are Bob reminds me of We Are Borg, you know. So there's a lot of like pop culture-y kind of references, especially if you happen to be a Gen Xer, then there's a lot of that stuff in there. So it's just a lot of fun, and yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. The next thing that is, we didn't actually talk about this, and we should have talked about it, because it turns out that there is a documentation in the Apple developer docs for the camera control. So if you have a camera app, then there's documentation on how to use the camera control, the new one that's on the 16 and 16 Pro. And then there's also a human interface guidelines article on it as well. So it's kind of a twofer. So you get that. And of course, the HIG article talks about best practices and that kind of thing on how to use it and when to use it and that kind of thing, and when not to use it and not to obscure it and those kinds of things. So those are some cool references there from the developer docs. And also I wanted to plug Swift and Remote Studio, because it's
okay,
it's, yeah, and that's it. Oh, okay. Well, all right. So Swift Remote Studio is a virtual co-working community. Tim is on it. And we've been enjoying each other's company and the company of others in the community. And it's iOS and Swift developers. And, you know, some folks are doing
server-side Swift folks.
Exactly. And, yeah. Server-side. And so it's been a fun mix. Today we did the watch party for the Apple event. And it's, you know, free to sign up and join in. We have the coffee meetups on Wednesdays, and we also have ones in Europe and in Asia and Australia that meet together. And then on Fridays we do a sort of a goal setting and accountability kind of meeting on Fridays, and that's been really useful too. And now we actually, in the last couple of weeks, we've been starting up this co-working thing too, which was the original purpose of the whole thing. And so it's been valuable. Yeah.
Cool. And as Jaime would say about the camera controls, so it picked so good, we picked it twice.
Nice.
Jaime, I think I cut you off. You were going to talk about JavaScript to Swift.
Well, you know, it's one of those common things where if you're trying to use a web view, like WK web view, but you also need to use location services, you can end up with a nasty double pop-up of requests, once from the iOS operating system itself or your app, and once for the mobile web that you're pulling up. And so this nice person, Swiftly Bald, has come up with a technique that looks pretty convincing. It's got lots of code samples. It's got little little videos that show you, like, here's exactly what's going to happen with that double location permission and why it sucks, and how it's kind of nice and seamless at the end. Is this a thing that everybody's going to use? No, but if you needed to use location services and you kind of needed to have that happen within the web as well, this seemed pretty reasonable as a way to intercept what things are trying to do and then sort of bridge the gap between your web view stuff and your native app.
Cool. It's got a nice AI generated artwork in there too.
Oh, it looks cool. And then you kind of look at the details and it's kind of smeary. It kind of looks like, Tim, I don't know what sort of media that would be, but it kind of looks like, I don't know, chalk or something that accidentally.
Pastel, yeah.
Yeah. There you go.
Mark, do you have a pick or do you have anything from WWDC that you've been focusing on?
I don't have a pick. I've been busy just with day-to-day stuff. I haven't really even dug into the WWDC stuff that much, which is kind of sad. And now that I think about the fact that it's been 2 or 3 months and it hasn't happened yet, it's kind of a sad thing, but it's true. So, yeah. No, sorry.
All right. Well, I have a couple of things. One is I wrote a tutorial on for Codico on Swift Data. That's going to be coming out sometime in the fall. Well, I know it's fall already, but I don't know when, sometime later in the fall. And probably about the same time the AirPower ships from Apple. But I also, when I was working in, you know, companies, I would always have access to some sort of wiki, and I would regularly post in links or resources or tutorials or whatever that I found for my team. And but lately, last year, I spent working on Vision Pro and Vision Pro resources, wrote a couple of courses, running some boot camps and stuff like that. And I thought, well, why don't I just start a wiki page and just publish it out there? So I started a page under my GitHub called Vision OS resources, and it's all the sort of links and videos and things that primarily for developing that I've been putting on there, frameworks and lessons and things. And a friend of mine suggested I use the word awesome in there, so I've got awesome in there, but with a footnote at the bottom leading you to Eddie Izzard's piece on "Is it awesome like a hot dog?" which is what I always say. So, it's if you're interested in Vision OS and you want to see some of the things that people are doing with Reality Composer Pro and get some app inspirations, check out the Vision OS resources page that is on my GitHub. And I think that did you put this on here for me, Jaime, or did I put it on there?
I put it on there for you because I mentioned in the in-between times of like, Tim, this needs to be a pick of the week. And I think I mentioned in public, it was like on Twitter or LinkedIn or something. So I was very disappointed in you for not putting your own link here, because you really should. I think it's a good resource.
I just too busy. I just came out. I was like, went right from a Vision OS bootcamp into this recording. So
yeah, I'm really happy that you posted this, and I know you've shared it with us in the community too. And so thank you for putting this together. I'm looking forward to diving into that.
Yeah, well, it's a living document every time, because I mean, I've probably got like, because as I had to write the Vision OS courses and I had to scour the internet for examples and dig into the documentation myself, and then I've been following a bunch of really good Vision OS developers over the last year or so. So some really good examples of stuff on there that I find. There's one guy who's, one of the things that's I'm curious about is this shader graph thing in Reality Composer Pro, where you can create custom materials that, you know, as you move closer or further away from a virtual object, the color can morph, and you can have, you know, things that just morph over time and all kinds of different things. But there's no documentation. Well, Apple's just starting to put documentation up. I just put a link in last week on Shader Graph. But it's something that's been common in Unity and what's the other one? Unreal, I think. They've been using shader graphing in 3D work for eons, right? So Apple's kind of catching up. It's good that Apple put that into Reality Composer Pro. So those are examples of, there's one developer I've been following from, I believe he's Japanese, that every couple of days he posts something new on either LinkedIn or one of the social networks. And I've been watching that. And there's a gentleman from France who put together Tom, I don't want to butcher his name, but he put up a survey a couple of weeks ago for Vision Pro users to find out, you know, how often you're using it. Is it sitting in a drawer? You know, what do you use it for? You know, do you watch TV on it? Do you watch movies on it? And put together these nice little usage charts. We get 160 responses from around the world. So that's kind of an interesting study. That there's a link to that on this page as well. And like I said, as I find new things, I'll put them on. Of course, there's all the Apple stuff from new and improved things that they put into Vision Pro on the WWDC. But, you know, and if you go beyond, like, there's, go beyond, like, a lot, like, even though Apple didn't really talk about Vision Pro much in the keynote and in the State of the Union, there are a lot of resources that tie into either improvements in SwiftUI, but also VisionOS. And so I've been posting that in related things in the VisionOS resources page, or the awesome VisionOS resources page, as its nickname is. And I guess that's it for this time around. And Jaime, if people get in touch with you, where would they find you?
I'm on Twitter as @DevOfTheHair.
And Mark, where can people write you a cursive letter?
MarkR@smapsoft.com.
All right. Evan, how can people get in touch with you?
These days, the best way is probably on Mastodon, where it's, Evan K. Stone at iosdev.space.
Cool. Well, my name is Tim Mitra, TimMitra, on the socials. I'm mostly Mastodon. I am on LinkedIn. I am on Threads. I am on Blue Sky. And I'm not going to mention that other site that Jaime mentioned a minute ago, because I'm boycotting them because I disagree with their politics these days. So, but, you know, so my notifications are off over there. If you want to reach me out there, you can, but I probably won't get to it pretty quickly. But so, yeah, until next time, I'm, you know, TimMitra on mastodon.social. So until next time, we'll see you in the future. Bye.
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 This has been another episode of the More Than Just Code podcast. This is CNN.
What's that? Oh, I just thought the James Earl Jones thing was kind of cool. Oh, wrong show, right?
If you want to find out more about the show, you can visit the More Than Just Code website at mtjc.fm. There you can find a summary and show notes of each episode. We list links to the apps, code, and news that we mentioned on the show. If you like the podcast, tell your friends. Please leave a comment on the website, and if you can, please write a review on iTunes. And please recommend us in your favorite podcatcher. All of these things help others find out about the show. We really appreciate your help with spreading the word. We're also on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We'd love to hear from you, so use the hashtag AskMTJC. Once again, the podcast Twitter account is @MTJC_podcast. Please consider supporting the show by pledging any amount on patreon.com/MTJC. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.
That was fun, I think. Mark, you didn't talk much about the emojis.
Well, what can you say about emojis? They're just, you know, they're just so awesome, as you would say.
It goes without saying.
Yeah. No, I mean, I got to be honest, you know, I don't use a watch, Apple Watch. I don't use AirPods. The iPhones were very incremental this year. It was not that exciting. This event, sorry.
But do you have a 15 or a 14?
I got a 14.
Okay. Are you you still on the plan, or are you not on the plan anymore?
No, I haven't been on the plan in years. No.
Yeah. Okay. Cool.
I mean, I'll get the new one just because it's the thing it's to shiny. Do. It's shiny. Yeah. But.
Oh, we were supposed to talk about David Gilmour.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so his new album came out the other day, and I've been sort of waiting for it because he's been posting it on socials. And then I noticed that I heard somewhere that he booked some nights at Madison Square Garden, because I knew he was going to tour in the UK. So I think there's, what, 4 or 5 nights he's playing in Madison Square Garden. But he's also playing in the Hollywood Bowl, and he's playing what's it called, the Inuit Center? I don't know where that is.
Where's that?
I think it's a basketball arena down in LA. But what's interesting about it, and I, you know, I get it. Like, you know, these days post COVID, you know, people aren't traveling as much, and he's David frickin' Gilmour. the ticket prices are super high, right?
Of course.
So I'm kind of debating, like, do I want to go to New York to see him? I don't think there's going to be a Canadian date. I did see him in Toronto last time he came through. And, but the Hollywood Bowl, if you go to the, if you sit in the corners of the Hollywood Bowl, they say they're obstructed views, but there's like a $99 ticket there, right? So I don't know if you've ever been to the Hollywood Bowl or
I've been to the Hollywood Bowl. It's been a while. You know, it's a pretty nice venue. If you're going to go, I'd spend the extra money to get a good seat.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, they are astronomical. Madison Square Garden's a nice place too, but the Igloo or the Inuit Center sounds like a small place because it's a basketball
Inuit
arena, right?
Dome. So I've never even heard of that.
Yeah, it looks like a basketball place because I looked it up online and it's because you know how a basketball court is smaller than a hockey rink?
Yeah.
So the floors are like closer together. Is the Hollywood Bowl big? Like, how does it compare to like a hockey arena?
Oh, it's probably smaller than a hockey arena. It's not that big.
Yeah.
It's I don't know. Have you been to the Greek Theater? It's kind of about the same.
No.
Yeah. What can I say?
I've never seen any shows in California, so.
Oh.
Yeah. Never been down there.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know.
Yeah, Hollywood Bowl's cool. It's got nice views of the Hollywood Hills and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool place. It's good to go to. You know, it should be on your bucket list. You should go to at least.
Yeah, I've never been to LA either. That's another thing too, right?
Yeah, LA's kind of cool. It's a cool place to visit.
Yeah,
yeah.
About it. I actually want to go to England. Probably. Maybe I should go to the
looks Earl's Court.
He's playing at Earl's Court. Earl's Court.
He's playing at the Royal Albert. Royal Albert Hall.
Yeah, that's the one with all the holes in it.
That's right. No, the 40,000 holes were in Blackburn, Lancashire.
Oh, were they?
Yeah, but now they know how many holes it would take to fill the Albert Hall.
That's true.
By comparison.
Yeah. Apparently the Clippers play at, or, oh, wait a minute, LA Lakers. I'm trying to figure out who plays here. Oh, it's going to be the venue for the 2028 Summer Olympics, too.
Hmm. Let's see. You're saying the tickets are astronomical. Let me see how much they actually are, because by our standards out here, they might not be that high.
Yeah.
Tickets are insanely high out here for everything. Yeah.
Well, they can't Let's be. See. Like Taylor Swift is playing in Toronto in November. They're, I think, like $3,000 is what the tickets are going for these days for, like, the worst seat in the house.
Yeah, I won't pay that much for a ticket, but I will. Yeah. I will certainly pay few hundred dollars for a show I really want to see to get good seats.
Yeah, I think they were $400 or $500.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, David Gilmour, I'm seeing $1,250 for terrace. Not even the floor. Wow.
Are you looking at Ticketmaster or
looking at Ticketmaster, yeah.
A reseller.
Well, the ones way in the back. You can get ones way in the back for under $200. Actually, yeah, I mean there's like what look like decent seats for $250.
Uh-huh.
I would do that.
I mean, I paid $300 to see Neil Young and then never got to see him.
Oh, how come?
Well, I got tickets and then Jonathan got tickets for like a later show.
Yeah.
And so I gave my sister my tickets and because it was her husband's 70th birthday.
Yeah.
And they went, they bought me a t-shirt. So I paid $300 to get a t-shirt. And then somebody on the tour got sick and they canceled the tour.
Oh, no.
Yeah, one of the I don't know if it's a Crazy Horse person or Neil Young or who somebody got COVID or whatever, but or they all got COVID or yeah.
And you were saying you've never seen him, never seen Neil Young.
Neil Young?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen Neil Young.
Yeah. Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I just saw him not too long ago. He did a small tour. In
that's what I'm saying. I'm talking about that same tour just recently, right? Like this fall, this spring, I guess, May.
Oh, it was okay. This was last year. It was. This one was just California, and
oh, okay.
And it was basically a deep cuts tour. So yeah, it was mostly songs that he doesn't usually play, which was very cool.
Yeah. He had a new album out this year, right? With the Crazy Horse.
Oh, he did. Okay. This wasn't Crazy Horse. This was solo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That would have been good.
Yeah.
But he lives down there though, right?
Yeah, I think he does live around here somewhere. Yeah, I think so.
So where were you looking at Hollywood Bowl or are you looking at?
I'm looking at Hollywood Bowl.
Looking Strange Tour. That's the new album here.
Oh yeah. I should look at this dome because I'd much rather see him indoors than outdoors.
Oh, is this a Hollywood Bowl's outdoors?
Hollywood Bowl's outdoors, yeah.
Well, you can sit at the side for like $267. That's not a Canadian. That's not so bad. $199. Huh. Why are they so far back? Like, isn't it a flat, like, it's a sort of a hill, right? Hollywood Bowl?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Inglewood, California. That's where that one is.
Yeah, it's what the Clippers play. Oh, you know, you can get pretty good seats at the Inuit Dome here for not expensive.
Yeah.
This is a much better deal. Probably because the Hollywood Bowl is the you know, the premier venue. Spot. Yeah.
Yeah, like it looks like you can get floors for like $245 Canadian.
Yeah. And or those, up in the stands, like Club right? 4. Are you looking at Ticketmaster? Club 4 or Club 30 are only $160. That's pretty good. Oh, and M2.
Oh, this is US prices. You're right.
Yeah, M2 is only $123. That's pretty cheap, relatively speaking.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah, that's about how, I mean, I was sort of like, if you look at C8, that's kind of where I saw him at the Scotiabank Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
Mind you, this is, like I said, this is a smaller venue because it's a basketball court, not a hockey rink, right?
Yep.
So you're going to be much closer.
Yep.
Wow, they have $56 tickets if you set up in the upper bowl.
Oh, yeah. No, that's going to be bad, though.
Are you going to see him? That's what Carol would say to me. Are you going to see him or are you going to go, you know, Terrace? How far up is Terrace?
No, that would suck. You wouldn't.
Would it?
Yeah. No, there's a reason they're that cheap.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, there's single tickets. These are single tickets, not together tickets.
Which ones?
Well, I mean, like the like I said, the igloo-y thing in Inglewood. Where is Inglewood compared to L.A.? Like
Inglewood is in the smack dab in L.A. Well, slightly south of like downtown L.A. It's a very bad area.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You probably don't want to walk around outside the venue.
Okay. Just arrive, go in, and run out. Get an Uber.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously in the immediate area, it'll be fine. Just don't decide you'll walk back to the hotel. That would be a bad idea. Yeah. And don't get a hotel right by it either. That would be bad. Probably.
Is it basically Crime Alley in Gotham City that created Batman from Bruce Wayne?
Pretty much. Yeah. Mm. Pretty much. Yeah.
Madison Square Garden on the Monday is completely sold out.
Yeah. I mean, if you remember, there were some riots a few years back.
Yeah.
That was right around there.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's why I probably know the name, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Probably not as bad now because they've got all the stadiums and stuff there.
This event is all in pricing, it says. What does that mean?
probably means the taxes are included and fees are included.
Oh, I see. Okay. Right. But it's the U.S. I'm looking at U.S. dollars. I keep forgetting that, too.
Wait. Is that higher or lower than Canadian now? What's the exchange?
We're about $73, 73 cents on the dollar here.
U.S. price is high. An equivalent U.S. price is way higher than the Canadian price then.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
There are very few seats. There were, like, when I was looking on the weekend, there were some seats available at Madison Square Garden, but not many now.
Yeah.
A lot of them are like, you know, companion seats in accessible areas.
What is this? Human musical group Sensations Glass Animals Tour of Earth in Mountain View. Is that him? Or is that's weird. So Ticketmaster has, in the list of David Gilmour shows, it has this thing in Mountain View, which is right around here, Shoreline.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's him. I think it's just an ad they stuck in, which is kind of weird.
Oh, yeah.
Human musical group Sensations Glass Animals Tour of Earth. I don't know what that is. But are they trying to fool me into thinking this is a David Gilmour show right around the corner from here? I think they maybe are. That's kind of lame.
Yeah, looks like I have to go to Scalper for Gilmour tickets in New York.
Well, if you decide to go to LA, let me know.
Huh?
If you decide to go to LA, let me know.
Yeah.
When is that? October? End of October?
No tickets in England. He's a popular guy for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Mr. Floyd. So there's a video of him rehearsing for the show. No tickets at all. Sorry, we couldn't find any results. Still cheaper than Taylor Swift, though.
Yeah.
I'm sure the scalpers bought them all. Or maybe they're not allowed to sell. Maybe he's got a policy where you're not allowed to sell the tickets like other people have done.
Yeah, the cancellation of detected scalped tickets is interesting.
I think The Cure started it last year where they wouldn't let you... Jonathan and I went and saw The Cure, and we couldn't you had to trade your tickets back in and upgrade. You couldn't add anything, make money off them, right? Which I thought was great. All right, folks. Well, I'm going to call it a night.
All right, guys.
Alrighty.
All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks. See you later.
Till next time.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Later.
Bye. Bye.